Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. His word is a firm foundation for those who love it and follow it. And if we obey it and if we listen to it, nothing will cause us to stumble. We will finish the race that is set before us. So we're going to continue going through the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 11 this week. So we'll start here in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now, I want to pause here for a moment. So we are getting into the story of David and Bathsheba. And so as we begin this story, we see here in the first verse that it is the time of the year in spring when the kings go out to battle. But as we see here in the last sentence, that David remained at Jerusalem. So David, instead of going out to battle, which normally would have been the custom for the kings to do at this time of the year, David remained or chose to remain in Jerusalem. So he did not go out to battle. So you could say David was not where David was supposed to be. David chose to stay in Jerusalem and be idle, you could say. So we see here, as we get into the story of Bathsheba, the first mistake that David makes, it is that he is going to stay home. He is going to be idle. He is not where he is supposed to be at that moment in time. So it teaches us the dangers of what happens when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Idleness can be a very dangerous situation for any individual. You know, Paul would even warn us about idleness. We have to control what goes on in our minds. And when we get idle, our minds can tend to wander and they can tend to go off track. And it becomes an easy target, you could say, for the devil to then begin to come with temptations when we're idle, when we're not actually busy doing something. But we also need to be aware of just being a busybody. We're not being a busybody just not to be idle. We need to make sure we're doing the work and the purpose that we're supposed to be doing. And David wasn't. And because of that, and he's idle, and he's free, and he's not busy doing something, he comes across something, and he sees something, and he is tempted with something that he falls into because of his idleness. So when our minds become idle, there is more and more thoughts that will come our way. And the more of these temptations that come, the greater the increase there is that we will fall into one of them temptations if we're remaining in a state of idleness. When we're busy, our minds are focused upon what we're doing. If David was at war, his mind would have been focused upon the war, the battle at hand. He wouldn't have been bored just walking around waiting for a temptation to come before his eyes. He would have been at work doing the purpose that he was created to do. So we need to be on point what he has created us to do. Now let's look at what Paul said about idleness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Yeshua Messiah, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness, and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you." So here is Paul warning us and telling us to keep away from those who are walking in idleness. Those who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, who are Now, we've all been called for a purpose. You know, we've all been called to make disciples. We've all been called to be made into the image of Yeshua. So we have our day-to-day lives where we go to work and we come home and we do our stuff around the house and stuff like that. And we also have those times where we need to be careful that we do not fall in periods of idleness, where when we're done with work and we're done with our household stuff, that our idleness is not set upon an intention or a purpose of something, that we're not allowing temptation to come our ways and bombard our minds. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with resting and unwinding. We just need to be careful of extended periods of idleness, of time periods where our minds are just allowed to wander here and there, because it is in those moments in time that temptation will come our way. We just need to be careful of living a life that doesn't have purpose. Because if we don't have purpose, idleness follows. And with idleness, we will find ourselves being distracted and tempted and pulled off course. Because when we're walking in purpose, we're going to be doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Had David been walking in his purpose, he'd been in battle. He wasn't walking in his purpose, and he wasn't where he's supposed to be, and he falls into temptation, and he's going to pay a price for it. And we're going to see that later in this teaching. Now, let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2. So we're going to pick up on the next verse upon David not being where he was supposed to be. It happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." So upon David not being where he was supposed to be and walking in idleness, not doing what he was supposed to be doing, we see here he's sitting on the couch. So it doesn't seem that David is doing much. He rises from his couch and he begins to walk along the roof of his house. And he's walking along the roof of his house. He sees Bathsheba and she strikes his interest and he inquires of her and he has her sent to him. So the temptation. So he's walking around. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And he sees the temptation. It's there. And he falls into the temptation. He sees the beautiful lady and he's like, "I want her." So he commits adultery. He sleeps with another man's wife. Had he been in battle, this doesn't occur. Had he been doing what he was supposed to be doing and not idle, he probably does not fall into this temptation and sin with Bathsheba. Now, upon getting her pregnant, she sends a message to him that "I am pregnant." David then begins to try and hide his sin. He comes up with a plan. "I will call Uriah back from the battle, and I will have him sleep with his wife, and he'll think that the child is his." So he does that, and he calls for Uriah to come back from the battle. And Uriah, the first night, doesn't sleep with his wife. He says, "My men are at war. I'm not going to sleep with my wife." So he doesn't do it. So David's next plan the next night is to get Uriah drunk and then send them back home in hopes that he will sleep with his wife being drunk. That did not work out for David either. So then David has to come up with a different plan. So he sends Uriah back to the battle. Then he schemes a plan for Uriah to get killed in the battle. And that is what happens. So when we think about what has occurred, from the mere fact that David was not where he was supposed to be, so now he has committed adultery. He has tried to cover up that adultery. And in the process of trying to cover up that adultery, he has now murdered a man. A man has now lost his life because David chose not to be where he was supposed to be. Now, David tries to cover his sin, but it does not work out for him. Because God always sees what is going on. We cannot hide our sin from him. He will see it. So in the next chapter, upon David having done this, now he gets a visit from the prophet Nathan. And we're going to read here in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9. Why have you despised the word of Yahweh to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Now we know that upon David hearing the news and Nathan approaching him about the sin, David does truly repent over his sin and what he did. We see here in this verse that one of the punishments that David paid for this sin was that the child that she was pregnant with would lose its life. David's response to this was to mourn and fast for this child so that the child would not die. So we see the heart in him that is broken over his sin. We see it when we read Psalms chapter 51, his prayer. He asks, create inside of me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit inside of me. Remove all that which is unclean. Clean me of all that has made me unclean. Because he knew that his Redeemer could cleanse him of his filthiness. He knew that he had not done anything that could not be cleansed by his Redeemer. The blood of Yeshua will cleanse us of our sins. There's nothing we can do that his blood will not cleanse us of. He will create inside of us a clean heart if we call upon him. His next word, renew a steadfast spirit in me. Renew a spirit inside of me that is faithful, that is loyal, that will not waver from your commands. David wavered in a moment. And it's interesting, the moment that David wavered was in the moment that he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing, when he got caught in being idle. He wavered. And he says in the verse, a very interesting thing he says in Psalms 51. So, he commits adultery. He sleeps with another man's wife. He now has this man murdered. But in David's words, I have only sinned against you. He recognized the fact that he sinned against God. Remember when Saul sinned and he messed up, Saul was concerned about the people seeing that he was still king and still being elevated in front of the people. David's concern was in the fact that he had sinned against his God. His concern was about his relationship with his God, not about how the people of the nation would see him. So David truly does repent. He pours out his soul before God. He is forgiven of his sin. David was still a man after God's own heart. But because of this, David still received discipline. You could say there was still a punishment, a penalty that he had to pay because of his sin. First of all, that child that she was pregnant with died. Then the second thing we see here in this verse that we just read is that he says that the sword shall never depart from your house. So there was strife and there was fighting that occurred in David's house because of what he chose to do. And as we read through the rest of David's story, we read about the family drama that followed. And the family drama that followed was the reaping from David's sin with Bathsheba, which came from him not being where he was supposed to be. So when you think about just one decision that I know I'm supposed to go out to battle, but instead I'm going to stay home. And because I stay home, now I'm bored and I'm idle because I'm not doing what I was supposed to be doing. Adultery is committed, a man is murdered, and now he has strife in his family. That just goes on. So we have to be aware that yes, we are forgiven of our sins and we are cleansed of our sins, but we can still face consequences for our sins. We will still receive discipline because of our sin. So let's be careful to stay busy doing what he has called us to do, doing the purpose that he has given us to do. Because when we stop doing the purpose he has given us to do and we fall into idleness, we can fall into the same trap that David fell into. We can sin against him and we can know that he is faithful to forgive us. But just as David reaped some consequences in his family, there are some consequences that can follow in some of the decisions that we make when we choose not to follow and be steadfast to his word. We need to keep our minds focused upon his spiritual things, focused upon him. David lost focus for a little bit, and because of that lost focus, he had consequences that lasted for a long time. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We are so glad that you have joined us this week. We hope that this has blessed you. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all.